KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. The arson fire that killed four firefighters near Palm Springs is now fully contained. The fire burned about 63 square miles and caused about $10 million in damage. Investigators have interviewed two people in connection with the fire, but so far no arrests. The Attorney General's office says this year's anti-marijuana campaign resulted in the seizure of a record 1.6 million pot plants. Estimated street value, nearly $7 million. And new circulation figures show newspapers continue to see declining readership. Among the nation's largest papers, the LA Times suffered the biggest drop, an 8% decline in readers for the 6 months ending September 30th. In the Mexican state of Oaxaca, late October is typically a time to celebrate a holiday known as Day of the Dead. But there are no celebrations this week as federal riot police are at a standoff with protesters who are demanding the resignation of Oaxaca's governor. After at least two deaths over the weekend, El Día de los Muertos is taking on a very different meaning. California is home to one of the largest Oaxacan populations in the U.S., and dozens of immigrants turned out at rallies Monday in Los Angeles, Oxnard, and Fresno. Sasha Coca reports.
Oaxacan immigrants in California have actively supported the protesters since the Oaxacan teachers' strike began in May. Immigrants have sent financial contributions to the demonstrators and broadcast protest songs from Fresno to Oaxaca via satellite. Immigrants gathered last night outside the Mexican consulate in Fresno to call for the resignation of Oaxaca's governor. They chanted a message to the protesters in Mexico that migrants living in the U.S. are on their side.
We are here to condemn the use of the violence that the federal government, along with the state government, have implemented this past weekend in the state of Oaxaca.
Nayamin Martinez is with the Oaxacan Indigenous Front of Binational Organizations, headquartered in Fresno. She says Oaxacans in California have been able to find out details about the violence through phone calls to family members in the protest movement, known as APO.
Through the government that controls a lot of the media in Mexico, it was just a partial story of what is happening there. Through us, the APO had been able to communicate the rest of the world what is going on really in Oaxaca.
Martinez says her organization is sending letters to political leaders in the U.S. and Mexico calling for an end to the violence and will continue demonstrations at Mexican consulates until the Oaxacan governor resigns. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
1 week from today, California voters will decide whether the state should add tens of billions of dollars to the state's credit card. Four statewide bonds would fund school construction, flood control, highway improvements, and affordable housing. Yesterday, we heard about the education proposition. Today, Tamara Keith explores the other state bond measures.
Mark Martinez spends a whole lot of time on Highway 99.
This is where I've seen firsthand many wrecks, and you'll see traffic back up completely.
Martinez is head of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce for San Joaquin County. Through much of the city of Stockton, Highway 99 has just two lanes. From behind the wheel of his BMW, Martinez says that's not enough.
This will back up all the way on the crosstown freeway of Stockton, connecting Highway 5 to 99.
The traffic headaches experienced by Martinez and others in Stockton are a result of dramatic population growth. As housing prices in the Bay Area went through the roof, many people moved to Stockton searching for affordability, but the infrastructure hasn't caught up.
Right now, there's twice as many cars and trucks traveling on our highways than the highways were designed for.
Gary Giovanetti, Stockton's vice mayor, is looking down on Highway 99 from an overpass. As part of Measure 1B, this highway would see $1 billion in improvements. Statewide, the measure would spend $20 billion, expanding highways, funding public transportation, and other projects. As a registered Republican, Giovanetti doesn't usually agree with big government spending programs, but he's supporting the bond.
What we're talking about is our future. What we're talking about is the economy and our ability to grow.
Because of its location in the heart of the Delta, much of Stockton's growth has happened in the shadow of a complicated system of levees. Giovanetti says this city of 300,000 was once just a lot of marshland. Now he says the levees that keep nature at bay are old and in desperate need of repair.
It may be millions to billions of dollars for repair, but the loss, should you have a failure, as we saw in Katrina, could be 10 times. So the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
But some critics say to prevent disaster, local governments need to stop okaying new housing developments in the floodplain. Those in favor of Prop 1E, the $4 billion disaster preparedness and flood prevention bond, point out a levee failure along the Delta wouldn't just affect locals. It could cut off a source of water to millions of people living in Southern California. Across town at a bright new development built to house farm workers and their families, a group of kids are playing a game that looks like some combination of basketball, baseball, and dodgeball. Projects like this one would be funded by Proposition 1C, the Affordable Housing Bond. Its $2.8 billion would be spent to encourage urban development, to help low and moderate income people buy homes, and to build shelters. Carol Ornelas is CEO of Visionary Home Builders, the nonprofit organization that built the farm worker housing. She says California hasn't kept up with growing demand for below market rate housing.
As a state, as a community, it's very important that anybody at any income level is able to find affordable housing. And we're not doing a very good job.
If all the bonds on Tuesday's ballot pass, the state will still be behind, says Kim Rubin, a public finance economist at the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C. Fixing California's outdated infrastructure is going to be expensive. And she says using bonds to pay for it masks the real cost.
With bonds, we're postponing it or dividing it up over the next 20 to 30 years. People need to pay for it, and it seems like economically having the people who benefit pay for the services they're receiving would make more sense.
What the Urban Institute's Kim Rubin is talking about are user fees, tolls, increased gas taxes, and extra property taxes in areas with flood control issues. Not the most popular suggestions. But then again, neither are bonds paid for over time by California taxpayers, at least according to a recent Public Policy Institute poll. The reason for the lukewarm support? Voters still need to be convinced the state should take on so much debt. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith.
And that's the California Report for this Halloween Tuesday, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for coverage of healthcare in California and the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org.